Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello, say.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be playing Museum Pictura, designed by Eric Dubus of Museum and Dominations, and Olivier Melisen of Museum and Dominations. The artists are Joel Drans, Loic Musi of Mythic Battles, and Amber Scharf. It is published in 2021 by Holy Grail Games. The description is, Museum Pictura is set during the Roaring Twenties, an age of elegance and extravagance, but also of art, with museums displaying famous paintings to eager crowds and influential patrons. As the curator of a prestigious museum, you have been tasked with assembling a collection of artworks the likes of which the world has never seen. The mechanic is set collection. The box art is a museum with a bunch of paintings on the wall. Probably too many paintings. I don't think that's good display.
Wait, and you got like a tiny Mona Lisa down the bottom. It's got like a Norman Rockwell theme to it. He's the dude that did all the...
Do you guys go to very many art museums?
No.
I do.
Okay. I'm sorry. I taught a course...
That's right. You did.
...in Paris where half the classes were in art museums. So...
I mean, I feel like there's generally not 30 pictures
on the National Gallery of Art has just as many. Yeah.
Like all the way up the wall? How do you see the ones at the top?
Well, and see, and this is almost reminds me of the Musée d'Orsay with its, because the Musée d'Orsay is built in an old train station. So it's got like the big, because in reality, you wouldn't want that much sunlight hitting your art.
Ooh, that's true.
Sorry. Also, my sister's a registrar. So we also really talk all the time about conservation of artworks. Anyway,
do you just put the really crappy art at the top of the wall, like
no one's or the really big it. Pieces that you could see right
okay
from the bottom?
But the dude up on top looks like Severus Snape, Harry Potter. All right, well, would you guys pick it up off the shelf? I think BP, you picked this one.
I did. Art museums, love.
Well, I think originally you picked museum, but we couldn't find a...
Sure, but yeah. I'm very much excited about the art aspect as well. I'm hoping set collections mean like we want so many Raphaels, we want so many Michelangelos or whatever.
Ooh.
Yeah, no. I always try to tell
fancy up our board games. I would pick it up. It seems interesting looking at it. Set collection artists. I feel like it might have a good table presence with all like, bits and pieces with art and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think I would pick it up. Seems interesting.
I probably wouldn't. I don't know. The description just didn't jump out at me like some of the other like Atelier and things like that we played. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, the art, the box art and the description just didn't seem as appealing to me, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I'm expecting with this one, which is going to be interesting for the next section on how do we think it's played. I have no idea. Literally no idea. I guess we're going to be putting paintings on a museum wall in a set.
I mean, it's set collection. Yeah. So we're trying to collect the types of work that people in the 1920s would want to come see. I'm curious to see if, as the museum curator, are we going to be looking for the Renaissance greats? For instance, like the Romance fabulous artists of the late 18th and early 19th century, or are we going to be trying to collect Picasso's newest and latest things? It's set collection, so... I'm assuming we're going to have cards with these different artists on them. And so, yeah, we're going to want to have like the best Picassos, the most Picassos. Like, that's how I'm thinking it's going to be played. What do you think, Eric? How did I do?
I mean, I have no idea.
Okay.
So sounds good
fantastic.
To me.
Fantastic.
Okay. History?
Yeah. So museums themselves, like I want to kind of do two short things. Okay. Museums themselves started out as these kind of cabinet of curiosities. So it's really interesting because in the really early 19th century, even the 18th century, you see these Enlightenment thinkers who want to collect all this stuff, right? Because they're starting to use cold reason, logic, collections, world exploration. So they're trying to do all these things. And so like you have these curiosity cabinets that then morph into kind of what we might call more kind of natural history museums. Art museums themselves really didn't become a thing until, again, like the 18th century, you'll see these salons types of things where there might be different galleries, different curations of current contemporary artists going up. And like you had the different academies that you had to be reviewed for. And that would go well into the 20th century. By the time the late 19th century, you start having world fairs, you start having more of these collections being put on display. So by, again, the early 20th century, this idea of like collecting art from the past is going to be a relatively new thing. And so really, when you look at a lot of the art museums in the United States, possibly, again, some of the ones in Europe have been put into other spaces, but later in life, really, most of them would have been probably early 20th century around, right, what this game is supposed to be doing. And so they would have been collecting, right, some of these more ancient artifacts, ancient arts, Renaissance. I mean, nobody cared about the medieval period, but then there would have been, right, the 19th century, which is very much like the Romance era would have been, and Baroque art would have also been up there. But the 1920s, as far as like the art produced at the time, which I'm curious how that's going to be integrated, is also a super fantastic period. Like, you have Art Deco, right, becoming pretty prominent. You have Art Nouveau from just a couple decades before, which is still pretty prominent in the 20s or early 20s, at least. Dada and Surrealism are kicking off, which is why Pablo Picasso and Marcel Duchamp are like big names at the time. And Duchamp he's crazy cool. I don't think their stuff would have been placed in art museums at the time, but definitely art galleries around this period. I'm excited to see both, see if we get 1920s art or if we're just going to get, the history of art.
So art and literature is very similar for me, where like people see stuff and like make interpretations. Like I like looking at art, like, oh, that's somebody very talented made that picture and it looks very pretty and I enjoy looking at it. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't look at it and be like, ah, the half glass bottle of milk on the table represents the ebbing flow of life as he slowly dies. And it's just like, good Lord, how do you get that out of a glass of milk? It's the same thing with like literature and, you know, the Great Gatsby, like, ah, the green light across the river.
But I think that's what I like about art is like, I like there's like a technical side of art too, that you can get into like that stuff if you're not into the overly dramatic poetic nature of it.
Okay, the game will progress through successive rounds as players create collections of paintings in their museum covering different domains, periods, and artists. So the periods are the Renaissance, Baroque, Rococo, Romanticism, and Impressionism.
I was pretty close.
And the domains are mythology, history, religion, landscape, still life, and portrait. And then there's like 30 something artists, I think.
Okay.
Spread all through those kind of different time periods. The game end is triggered when somebody reaches 50 points, and you're going to earn points by exchanging works with international museums, building collections that fit the current mood for art, attracting patrons, and hosting temporary exhibitions.
Okay.
The first player is randomly chosen. Some of the ones I thought of were last to visit an art gallery, last to visit an art museum, last to purchase art, last to own, to loan art to a museum or gallery. I thought was a fun one. And then I was like, there's so many interesting choices beyond random. I don't know why they All right. So each player's turn is split into two phases, the acquisition phase and the action phase. In the acquisition phase, the current player draws two cards into their hand from the art deck and then exchanges a painting from their hand with one of the international museums. Each of the museums will have a trend which shows a painter's number. So all the cards are going to have numbers on them and they're just for quick reference. So like Michelangelo, all paintings by Michelangelo will have the same number.
Okay. Like six.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll have a painter's number, a domain, or a period. If you give a museum a piece matching one of the items on their trend card, you will gain points. It'll be the highest value associated. So if you trade like the same time period in the same domain, you only score for one of those and it's the highest one. If you take a piece from the museum matching their trend, you will lose points. After the active player has made their exchange, in turn order, the other players may conduct an exchange with an international museum. Once all players have passed or made an exchange, the active player moves to the action phase. In the action phase, the player performs one of the three following actions. They can improve their museum. So they can discard any card from their hand to their discard pile, which is also their warehouse. And they can take another card from their hand and put it anywhere in their gallery. When four or more cards have a similar domain or time period, they form a collection if they are orthogonally adjacent to each other.
Orthogonally, you got that in early.
And a collection in the grand gallery, which is going to be the shaded area on your player board, will score you additional points at the end of the game if all of the it's all one collection in the grand gallery. You may reposition cards in your gallery anytime you wish until the end of the game, and you can gain points if the card you place matches the artist domain period of the current trend card. So each round is going to have its own trend. You can take a painting from another player's work warehouse by discarding a card from your hand to their discard pile and then taking that. So you can take other people's art if it's in their discard pile.
I like this.
So you can also open a temporary exhibition. So you can choose one of your collections and score it immediately. You can choose a period or domain, and you can take the matching exhibition token from the center of the table. There's two for each period and two for each domain. If there are no tokens left for that domain or period, you cannot do the exhibition. So it's kind of a, you have to get there before other people do. And players can only perform one exhibition per period or domain, and you can only perform five per game. And then the third thing you can do is you can perform an inventory. So you can pick up your discard pile and put it in your hand. Your hand limit is eight cards. You may then draw a favor card, which are kind of like special free actions. And finally, you may discard all of the face-up patron cards on the patron board and replace them. You do have some additional free actions. So you can play a favor card from your hand, then discard it to the center of the board. You will gain a favor card. You'll have a favor card at the beginning of the game. And then you will also get one for every 10 points you gained when performing an inventory. And then you can acquire a patron if you meet their shown requirements. So that it'll say something like, have two Van Goghs in your museum, and then you'll get to gain that patron. And that patron, you'll place it next to your player board, and you can decide to either gain the points listed on the patron or the special ability that the patron has written on it. Once a player has taken their actions, play moves to the next player. The game is end when a player reaches 50 points. The player will gain the 50-point token, which will give them five additional points, and then finishes their turn. Each of the other players will then get one additional turn. So whoever reaches 50 is done for the game, and the other players will get an additional turn. Before we go into scoring. So each player will have a final opportunity to rearrange the paintings in their gallery. Players will get points for all of their collections, so periods and domains. Their personal trend card, so each of us will have our own trend of things that we're trying to do. Gaining points for each matching element, as opposed to just the highest. We'll get points from temporary exhibition tokens, points for filling our grand gallery with cards of the same collection, and for filling your entire museum. Players will lose points for each card in their discard/warehouse. The player with the most points is the winner. tie goes to the player with the most paintings. If it's still tied, it goes to the player with the most patrons. If it's still tied, the rule book doesn't say, but I suppose it's assumed they share the victory. And those are all the rules.
Let's play.
We just finished a game of Museum Pictura. To recap, BP had 83 art prestige points. Kiwi had 107 art prestige points. And I won with 112 art prestige points.
What was your winning strategy?
Winning strategy is the bunny strat. I called it at the beginning. Said it was a
you
winner.
You got the hair.
And it won. I took a picture of a bunny.
You got yourself a lobster crab.
You did get a lobster crab.
Yeah. And then from there, I made sets of paintings, I think. I probably screwed up the scoring. So that was probably a help in there.
That is a strategy.
It's a technique.
What about you guys? Strategy? Kiwi had more car. I will say, like, in general, like, BP and I probably had about the same number of empty spaces. Kiwi, I think, had a little better filling up his museum.
Yeah, I was just trying to get sets and like the same sets. So I was trying to get cards. So I was looking at y'all's discard piles.
Y'all's.
Yeah.
Y'all's.
For your warehouses and trying to see if there were cards that fit into my gallery. So I was trying to just make big sets.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of picked like one thing. I started with the life stuff and then I was like, okay, now I'm going to do red. Now I'm going to do green. And then that's just where I ended. BP is all history.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any shock or surprise there, but it also was my bonus card. So I went for it and Kiwi kept chastising me throughout the entire game. Like, you can play other cards. That's Kiwi, by the way, in my ear, like telling me all the things I need to do.
Well, I wasn't chastising you. I was trying to remind you that you could play more than one card.
I want a conversation
like more points
between Kiwi's BP impression and BP's Kiwi impression.
That's too much work.
I think that would be fantastic. You're right. But I think one of the things that hurt both Kiwi and I was our warehouse.
Yeah.
And now that I knew that they hurt me, I wish I'd had them because I could have like tossed those away at those museums where I was just like, I don't want to give these museums anything, or I just want to donate and I don't want to take anything from the museums.
Yeah, and like, none of us did the inventory thing, which could have picked up some of those cards, which I guess that's a reason why you would do it.
I don't know how I had less in my inventory because I didn't do that either. I guess I had a couple thingy cards that took some out. I guess that was enough.
I mean, I think BP got like 80% of her points just from her history card. Like between the set, the bonus.
I had a lot of history.
I don't think that was wrong.
I think
because then she scored it twice.
I don't think it was either.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I only had like one or two in my museum that were not history.
Yeah.
I think the only downfall was she didn't have enough exhibitions or something. So if she had just done a couple more other things.
Yeah. I ran out of favor cards really fast and I never got any.
Yeah, because you weren't jumping up fast enough to get the other favor cards. Yeah.
All right. What'd you think of the theme, BP?
I loved the art and collecting the art. I did feel like I was collecting art. Like I did. Like, and I wanted to rearrange my museum so all my artists were together or all my colors were together, like all my set. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually interested. So this is based off of their museum. Like the game is the same, except museum, it's like historical things. There's like statues and like other historical artifacts. So, and this is supposed to be it's not an expansion. It's a standalone using the same system. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see how it plays in that too. But yeah, I did feel like I was collecting different artists. Mm-hmm. And like, even though the artists didn't really matter, it was cool to like kind of put them together and put them in your gallery. So
I mean,
it's interesting.
I thought the artist mattered, but that was just
me. The artist names are the thing that came up the most. I thought where it kind of was weaker was with the, like, you know, we said red, green. We didn't say the type of art or the genre, I guess.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I think he did. Sometimes I did.
Tell you what they were.
Landscapes, mythology. Well,
so those I used. It was the Impressionism, Rococo.
Oh, yeah. And Renaissance. I did often.
Sometimes I would zoom in to try and I just couldn't remember what the colors were.
Yeah, that's the thing. You had to put the effort in to do that. And it was like the artist's name was just there. So I don't know.
I feel like if you played it enough, you would start.
Or if you were familiar.
Yeah, more familiar and knew that, like, oh, so and so is an impressionist. Right. Or whatever.
Table presence, BP?
Oh, yes. I mean, I feel like this is, I mean, art on cards was really great. It had not just like the artwork, which was obviously awesome, but also had like 1920s patrons watching it or viewing it, which I thought was kind of cool, too. So I feel like it had a good presence. I think I mentioned at one point when we early on looking at all like just the little things in it. It had like a fountain pen at one point and a note card where you got the what are those metropolitan
favor cards?
The favor cards, yeah.
Yeah, I think BP definitely enjoyed the art. I think like the one thing that kind of takes away from the table presence is the fact that the way the player boards are laid out, you end up stacking them. So you only see the art for that, whatever that bottom card is, which I think if you were playing on like a regular table, you could definitely spread them out however you wanted to and make it a much bigger so you could see all the images. Because this is one of those games where like while the art itself doesn't really matter in terms of like, it's the icons at the top that matter most, right? But it's, you know, it does have a lot of famous paintings. And so it is something that you would want to look at. And I feel like the way they have it laid out on the player board, which I think they did to save space, kind of takes away from what could potentially be a much bigger table presence.
Yeah. And I mean, and each of the cards really did almost look like you were almost viewing it because they all came with the little placard that had like the name of the artwork and then like a little brief synopsis, just like you would see the art and have the little placard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was a good, my personal.
I would like compared to Atelier, because they did more like tarot style, I think maybe tarot, but there are larger cards that featured the art more. And like you said, the overlapping thing really takes away. And then they do this weird thing where they have like the painting and then like a drawing of a person looking at the painting, or one of them had like a hand over it. And I don't know why they did that instead of just having the painting. Like that threw me off on a couple of, one of them had like a big hand, like it was wiping off the glass. And it was like, it took me a second. I was like, why is that there?
I think they were trying to keep with the theme of the, that was on the box art, having people look at it. But yeah,
like you've got like works of art and you're like, let me draw my own thing over it. It seemed like a weird choice to me. So I don't know, compared to like Atelier, like I didn't think its table presence was as strong. Mechanics, Kiwi?
I mean, nothing super groundbreaking. I did like the set collection piece. I did appreciate that you were able to rearrange it however you want. So it wasn't like other games we've played where it's like, if you start on a path of setting stuff up, there's no way to change it or it makes it very difficult to change. The only thing I found frustrating was the forcing you to trade, because we got to a point where there were no good trades. I think at the very end, like there were a couple of times where it's like, okay, I'm going to make this trade. I'm going to lose points doing it. But when I play that card, which helped BP a little bit at the end with one of the, was it Delacroix? You know, she was able to get points, but she had to lose points to get there. So I think that was the most frustrating part for me, was that forced trade when it was your turn.
It kind of did that thing that Fort does with the whole like, oh, and then you can take an action on somebody else's turn. But like, it was weird. And I guess it's supposed to make it like more interactive on somebody else's turn. But it kind of, I'd rather like you just finish your turn and then I can take mine. And then we kind of just stopped doing it. Cause like you said, with the four, we didn't even really want to do the force trade, let alone like an optional one. So I don't think we did it for like most of, I think maybe the first couple turns, cause we thought we were supposed to, but then we just stopped. So yeah, that was kind of weird. Overall, it just felt a little clunky to me in mechanics. I can't like pinpoint what, but it just felt like, and then like, even like scoring felt very clunky. Like it all just seemed like, maybe there was just too much. Or there were too many things to like keep track of. But it just felt very like, It didn't feel like a very like smooth experience, I thought. I don't know. BP?
I agree with everything said so far. I don't think I have any additions.
How about on learning the game?
I feel like it was pretty straightforward. I think we had some questions, but we sorted them out early on. I think the thing with the mechanics and the rules and just kind of like all how it came together at the end, the points and those points and adding up and subtracting at the end was crazy.
Points were a lot. The scoring was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the positioning of the, Kiwi just had to rearrange my board so it made sense to the rules because I didn't understand any of that.
Yeah. And that just seemed dumb to me. I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know, reworked that piece. The rest of it seemed to work fine.
I just feel like this is one of those games where like, here you go. These are the three actions that you can do. But then like each of the actions that you can do, like there's so much involved with it.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things that I did have to go back and look. I think the big one was how many cards you could play when you were improving your gallery. But that being said, it was pretty easy to find the answer. That the rule book itself is laid out well. It does go in order of this is what you do and these are the things that you can do. So it doesn't like jump around or anything like that. And there are decent examples in the rule book. So overall, I think the rule book was good. I also did watch a video from Holy Grail Games that they did for the Kickstarter, because this was a Kickstarter game that I think hasn't delivered yet, but should soon.
Player interaction?
Yeah, I think it was I think it was minimal. It's just like any other drafting game. There were a couple of like, you know, oh, I hate you for taking that card.
The only time we drafted was when there was a special card for it.
Well, I think technically the trade bit.
I don't know. Like,
I think it's pretty minimal.
You had to remind me, like, hey, I've got one of these. You should look at my cards. Like,
I thought there'd be more with when it was talking about like trading between museums, but since we didn't really trade with each other, I don't know. I thought from the description and the rules, I thought there'd be more, but like, I didn't pay attention to what you guys were doing at all.
And the only reason why I reminded you of that stuff is because Tabletopia, it's hard to move around and look at other people's stuff like you would if we were playing on an actual table.
Sure.
Would you play it again, BP?
Yes. It's art. I loved it. Like, art-wise, I hated the scoring at the end. I will say that. Like, it just seemed weird. But I love just getting to create my own museum. Is there a better game I could probably do for it? Maybe. I don't know. But I would try it again I would probably not go for, like, the points like I'm supposed to and just create a Delacroix museum.
Kiwi?
I would play it again. I think I would like to try the museum, the one with like just the history stuff, just because I think I would find that more interesting. And I think if I played it again, I would want a physical version of the game. That way I could spread the cards out and actually look at them the way I want to, and then just like reference the player board for how it needs to be laid out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would play it again. I enjoyed the set collection piece. I feel like the point scoring at the end would be easier with a physical copy. I think some of my frustration with the game came from Tabletopia and not really the game itself.
Okay. Eric?
No, I was pretty bored within 2 minutes of playing. Even like the patrons, I was like, oh, what are these things? And then I was like, that seems like too much effort to even pay attention to. There's already enough. And I think for me, like the biggest thing is like kind of the same thing with you of like, I wanted to do like other things that seem more fun in making a museum, but weren't good for playing the game or winning the game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, I don't think it's good when the things you want to do in a game are not what you should be doing in the game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And like, it just felt clunky and stuff. I feel like there's, I don't know, it's gotta be something better. All right. That is Museum Pictura.
So if you have any recommendations of games you want to hear us discuss, especially our first impressions on, send them our way. You can do so via email at firstturntabletop. It's at gmail.com. And we're also available Twitter and Instagram at firstturncast and the podcasting camel as he tiptoes through that wonderful, fantastic Delacroix Yeah, exhibition room. He says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Because apparently he whispers in a museum. But yeah, he does. Rate, review, subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. And we do look forward from hearing from you. Play more games. Oh, God, I'm London.
That's a bunny.
Oh, where's the bunny?
I want the bunny. How do I get the bunny? I don't need to know any other rules.
Ooh, does Eric have any histories?
No. So your whole gallery doesn't have to be histories.
I know this.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a lobster.